Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Jam Session. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm Amanda Dobbins.
A lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of topics that I'm very excited about. First, though, Amanda, it's Oscars week. How are you feeling? It's a big week for you.
I can't believe they haven't happened yet, honestly. I guess I'm excited. I love the Oscars, sure. And I love the Oscars when they start, which, FYI to everyone, is at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific this year. So I love the Oscars.
Great move.
At 7 p.m. by like 8:45, 9:30, you know, my energy is waning a little. I love the next day. Looking forward to talking about it with you.
I'm looking forward to that as well. I will miss Bradley Cooper. I have to assume that the press tour will slow down, if not end, but who's to say? It's really been a wild ride of this guy.
The Dax Shepard interview just keeps on giving because people are still listening to the podcast and finding new quotes. So
I think that Bradley Cooper loves to be interviewed, which is like my takeaway, because I've seen him on Howard Stern a lot and he does like open up. If he likes the interviewer, he's like opens up.
He'll start gabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I was taken aback by some of the quotes. They also just the one about like if someone were to come in with a gun, like what I really worry about my newborn baby, that it, just an incredible out of context experience for basically everyone I know, you know, because it wasn't like you heard that, you read that quote in the interview clip, right? We all just saw that aggregated on Twitter. Like, what is going on?
It's really something. It's also just like hilarious. It's a hilarious out of context quote for a guy who's really foregrounded his daughter over the last 2 months.
Yeah.
So it's a lot, but biggest news of the week. Took us a while to really feel like we wanted to touch it, but it reached a fever pitch. Amanda, where in the world is Kate Middleton?
Well, I have an answer for you. As of this morning, TMZ has photos of Kate Middleton sitting in the passenger seat of a large Audi driven by her mother outside or in like the Windsor Park, Windsor area, near where she lives, basically. So she's alive and she's in a car with her mom.
These photos were supplied to TMZ, not supplied to, but TMZ got them from Backgrid, which is a pretty common paparazzi agency. I will say neither Carol nor Kate looks particularly happy in these pictures.
Sure.
I think Audi is like really actually quite notable since it is not one of the official British cars of the royal family.
Will and Kate exclusively drive Audis.
Oh, they do?
And have for many years. Yeah.
Oh, so it doesn't matter they're not in a Land Rover.
No. They've, like, every time...
They're Audi people.
Like, the hospital exit or, you know, when they're, like, driving to the Christmas party or whatever, they're in an Audi. Yeah.
So it's not notable. Do you think that these photos were released, one might say staged, to quiet some of the commentary of the last few days?
Yes, I do. I believe that photographers were notified that someone would be driving from point A to point B on a publicly available road.
It seems like a pretty long lens, but not that long.
Yeah.
Because it's like a little pixelated on their faces, but not that pixelated. Also, it's a pretty good camera angle, pretty good like sun angle where like the sun is on Carol's face. So like you can see half of her face really well. And like you could tell it's Kate, but like it's just not that close.
Yeah.
They look pretty perfunctory.
They look pissed off to be doing it.
They look pissed off. I want to talk about the outrageous rumors because honestly, it's funny. But before that, let's just say the facts as we know them. They announced in January that Kate Middleton had abdominal surgery and would be not doing any public engagements as she recovered until Easter in April. There is no reason to believe that any of that changed, except for a lot of small details that people started pointing out that were like pretty circumstantial. So there's no reason to believe that anything has changed other than what the palace said then, which they then reiterated after the outrageous rumors really reached a fever pitch online a few days ago. So with that in mind, that as far as we know, she's recovering from abdominal surgery. I'd like to know what you found to be the most humorous rumor about Kate Middleton.
The Banksy one is pretty good, right? That there have been no new Banksy paintings since Kate Middleton announced her leave from public life. And so it's less about where she's been in the last 6 weeks as opposed to what she's been doing on her off hours before then. I thought that one was pretty funny. The plastic surgery ones were like, frankly, if people are going to do this, I need them to think more practically and realistically about it. Because so when it was announced in mid-January that she was going to be gone for abdominal surgery, I had many people in my life be like, oh, so is it a tummy tuck?
Including me.
Yeah.
Actually, and I don't think I said tummy tuck, but I did text you saying like, what do you think's going on with Kate?
Oh yeah. You and I were speculating and like, it was surprising. How could you not? You're like, you're a human being. But I had many people say like, oh, it must be plastic surgery. And I was kind of like, no, I don't think so. Number one, because if it were plastic surgery, they would not like announce that she's going on this, like they would not draw attention to it. She wouldn't be like they wouldn't announce what hospital they wouldn't, you know, all of these things, unless they're doing like the so obvious, it's not obvious strategy, you know, but I don't actually give them that much credit. So I don't think it was initially plastic surgery. Now, could she have added a facelift on a couple days later, knowing that she was like going to be out of the limelight for a while? Like, sure. But I kind of did think that it was like what we were told, you know, abdominal surgeries take a long time to recover. So I've had one. Yes, I've had one recently. I guess I've had two because I had a C-section as well. And that counts. Both were 6 weeks minimum. So I was just kind of like, yeah, that seems right. Like she's having abdominal surgery. And also she's a very rich person who lives somewhere where she doesn't have to be photographed all of the time if she doesn't want to be. So all of like the, oh, she had a BBL or whatever. I was like, you know, honestly, I want more from my conspiracy theorists. That's not that there's not a lot of flair. There's not a lot of creativity there. I demand more from the public in that respect. If we're going to like have a whole hoopla, let's get really creative. So Banksy is still number one for me. What was your favorite?
I like the coma because the derivation or the history of the coma is that they had a nanny who is from Spain, she's Spanish, and told the Spanish press that Kate Middleton was in a coma.
Okay.
That's also one to me that like, I just think that could like be lost in translation where like someone could have a surgery and they're still under anesthesia and that's not being in a coma. But I could see where like that language could be like,
right.
You know, translated one way and back to be like, okay, Middleton's in a coma.
Right.
So yeah. I liked that one because I felt like it was like rooted in truth. And then at one point, I'm not going to lie, I was on Reddit, both conspiracy theories and the subreddit Out of the Loop. And someone was asking for updates on what's happening with Kate. Like, I'm out of the loop. And last week, after he attended the BAFTAs, he then issued the statement.
Prince William.
Missed. Prince William attended the BAFTAs alone because his wife is recovering from surgery and taking a break from public life. And he then didn't go to his godfather's memorial service, which is really what set this off.
Right.
Like, he canceled without a reason. And
he said for personal reasons.
And in that time, when he released that statement, the crest on the statement was his personal one rather than like their married one. And so people were like speculating about their marriage. But again, I feel like the royal family takes a break from public life really seriously. Like, there's a distinction between public and private. And so, like, if Kate's taking a break, William's acting on his own, especially with his father being ill as well. So
that's the other thing.
I interpreted his
personal stuff as more likely having to do with the king's
being like health. Regent. Yeah.
Yeah. Then, I mean, if it was going to be a health issue, it was probably him rather than Kate, just like age and whatever. I don't know. I just assume she's like sitting at home, you know, eating soup and walking around the house.
Yeah. I just want to note, having nothing to do with this current situation, like if you'd asked me in November, I 100% believe there's a lot of unhappiness in that family because it's like really hard to be royal. I think there are a lot of bad people with strong wills, no pun intended. Like, mm-hmm. I just think that there's like probably a lot of unhappiness that has nothing to do with whatever is going on right now. So I also like believe there's other shit, like every family, but it's not related to this. What I am most baffled by, though, is how the royal family is conducting itself and like how their press offices are functioning in the last like 6 weeks, really since the week when both Charles and Kate announced their hospitalizations. This is like really poor management and suggests to me that like my like sort of like broader theory about how this has been so poorly done is that the whole Meghan and Harry affair like allowed them to create clear villains that I think a lot of people really vilified and continue to vilify. And so I think they're like almost caught off guard by the press and so not like coming for them, but being rabid over them. But I'm just so surprised by how poorly this has been handled.
I agree. So my understanding is that it's actually being poorly handled by at least two different offices, which is part of the problem, right? Is that Charles and Buckingham Palace have their own press office, and then Will and Kate have a separate one. And often those press offices are at odds and are working against each other, even though they are father and son and part of the same family.
Also, just pause for 1 second. Harry shouted that out on the Oprah special famously, yes, about how the press offices didn't work together. So,
right. And that's one of his like major complaints is that, you know, Camilla had her own press office and was manipulating another way. So they're all, you know, wielding knives, stabbing each other in the back by the press all of the time. They're not like a united front. And one way that you can see that is that the Buckingham Palace has been like very forthcoming about Charles's health and updates, or like, you know, at least is like, he's getting this procedure and he has cancer.
They're providing updates, whether they're true or not, who knows?
Right, exactly. They are like providing specifics. And Will and Kate and Kensington Palace are being very, very tight-lipped. I think part of that is from the Will and Harry school of absolutely fucking loathing the press. None of your business, won't talk to them. And, you know, some of the same, you and I thought, like, misjudged, if understandable, attitudes that Harry had toward the press of being like, I'm just cutting you off. Like, you have no rights and I'm going to do this other way and I'm going to respond to every, like, their press strategies. I understand why they hate them as much as they do and why they are so reactionary, but like, they're bad at it. They're not working with the flow. And so I do think some of that is rooted in Will's just like absolutely ironclad, I'm not going to share anything with you at all, even though I'm the future king and you're paying for my entire life.
Right.
So, you know,
I hadn't thought about the two press offices. That's a really good point. It's just like so wild that they let this happen. It's such bad management because I don't know, like, I don't think that I'm not like really team anyone in this because I don't like any of them, but I do think that Charles's approach has been more effective because people are asking many fewer questions.
Yeah. And he's even like been seen walking back and forth
yeah.
to church, which like, I don't go to church every week. I don't really want to. Well, I'm not a particularly religious person, so that's part of it. But it's like, Kate Middleton doesn't need to like be going to church just to prove that she's okay. But some sort of citing something, understanding that there would be this huge interest and that feeding like a little bit is, if distasteful, better than just completely blocking it out. I agree with you. It's a bad strategy.
It also, it kind of magnifies for me how much the kids are used as like props, which is like also kind of fine. Like they don't need to be their own public people, but like Kate taking a break from public life has meant that her entire family is except for her husband. And I also feel like perhaps that could have been worded differently. Like, so that people will just be like, you don't need to see the kids. You don't need to see her mom. You don't need to see any of them. Like, we don't need any of that. But just the fact that like of how, again, like the strategy of handling this has led people to speculate in wild ways.
Right. And even like the original statement was like, we understand there will be a ton of interest, but we won't be giving any further updates. It's like okay. You know, like you're just digging yourself into a hole. You got to understand that. And my read on the situation is a lot of that comes from, in this case, Williams, just like absolutely like bullheaded refusal to acknowledge that the world operates in any other way. And you know, we've seen that like a million times from Harry as well. So, you know, they are legitimately royal princes who have grown up in an umbrella of unimaginable wealth and privilege and just maybe how the real world works doesn't get through to them all the time.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts, real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
On the royal beat, can we talk about Meghan for a moment?
Oh, yeah. Did you see she's keynoting South by?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. With like Brooke Shields.
Wow. Wow. That's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, what's a nightmare getting around Austin during South by Southwest, but will be even worse is like Meghan insisting on like security level to navigate security. Those streets. Yeah.
No, that's fucking funny.
So Meghan and Harry just were at the Invictus Games. We didn't really get a chance. Or sorry, it was not the Invictus Games. It was like a pre-site visit 1 year in advance of the Invictus Games at Whistler in Vancouver. It'll be there next year in 2025. We didn't get a chance to discuss this, but I thought that Megan's outfits for that event, while like perhaps mountain chic for like me mm-hmm. or a regular person, were just like so horrible. I just kind of like couldn't believe it. And then lo and behold, your friend, my friend, friend of Jam Session, Lauren Sherman, reported in Puck on her newsletter, The Line Sheet, that Megan had hired a stylist who's like pretty Instagram famous. If you follow a certain LA set, her name is Jamie Mizrahi, Sweet Baby Jamie, I believe, on Instagram.
Or a certain Montecito set, as the case may be.
Sure. For me, she's like friend of the Fosters. Like, she's tight with Aaron Foster. So that's like really how I know
right,
about
but
her.
Right, but I understand that Aaron and Sarah are mostly LA based at this point, but like David is like mm-hmm. the king of Montecito, you know, and yes. they're just, it's like that whole coastal yes. swath of Los
yes,
Angeles
totally.
that I, a resident of Los Angeles, have absolutely no access to.
Yeah. I mean, Megan and Harry, one of the first times they were sighted, they were spotted in Montecito. They were going out for dinner with David Foster and Catherine McPhee. So
right.
great point, Amanda. Neither side will confirm it. We've discussed, as Lauren said in her newsletter, that Megan allegedly never had like an official stylist. There's been a lot of chatter over like Megan's re-entry into Hollywood. And I feel like there's not like a big moment. I mean, hopefully it's not South by Southwest, but all of these like small steps, I'm just like, is this really enough? And truly no shots at Sweet Baby Jamie, but I'm not sure she'll be like doing an overhaul of Megan's look, which maybe is for the best, but like, I feel like Megan really needs to like get access to like the Anne Hathaway playbook or something. Like we need her to like do a little bit more of a radical change.
Can you tease out the Anne Hathaway playbook for me in your mind?
So she's Versace, right? Anne Hathaway.
I would have said Valentino.
That, she was Valentino.
Is she before, Versace she now? Oh, she switched. Oh,
she
that's
switched.
Right. Part of her rebrand.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But she just like always looks good. And I think they have similar frames.
She
and similar
does.
Noses.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're meaning purely aesthetically. So you want more glam. You want more glam and more sex, really, from Meghan Markle.
Because
that's what Anne Hathaway has been going towards. I mean, she looks great.
She does look great. I just think that like the kind of like Venice, Montecito, Kuyana, mean Bing style.
I agree.
Is like good for a regular person, but not for Megan. Like again, for regular people who can afford it, great. For Megan, it's a no.
I don't think
that she's going to be getting away from that.
I agree. She was like out to lunch or out to dinner the other night in like gray jeans and a nice sweater, an oversized coat, and then like a matching gray Goyard bag, and I was like, oh, come on. You know, like,
tonal dressing, yes. Tonal sure. gray dressing, no.
Right. And then the Goyard bag, like we can aim higher.
I'm about to say, it's like the things that she chooses that are really expensive are just gaudy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think that we need her to do luxury better.
Yeah. I mean, she is an ambassador for that Montecito style of life, for sure. And it's in a really specific and sort of funny way. But I don't know if that's how she wants to rebrand her career and her presence as like one of, you know, another rich coastal mom.
Also, everyone's cashing in on Suits. Everyone who was on Suits is cashing in right now. Like, she should just do that. People would like it. It would make her so much more approachable. It's similar to Anne Hathaway doing like presenting with Emily Blunt and Meryl Streep. It's
I know,
like,
but their timing was way off. That was really tough for me.
Yeah, I mean, it also was like, why now? Yes, to your point about timing, but like, just like, why? I was confused.
Oh, no.
It,
I like, meant yeah. I meant like the comedic timing. Those are three very talented people. And it was like, I mean, yeah. The sound in the room was not very good, but like they just like weren't landing their lines at the right, you know, it was very awkward.
Yeah.
That's okay. I love them all.
I just feel like
Devil Wears Prada is a wonderful film.
Of course. Yeah, it's the best. All right. Let's move on to two hot topics. One is really short. I just need to mention it.
Yeah.
My favorite thing I saw on Instagram this week is a picture of Natalie Portman holding up a copy of the book Heartburn by Nora Ephron, one of Amanda's hero books. And it's her next reading, Natalie Portman's reading club, book club. I can't speak. It's their next book. And I'm not sure if everyone's aware, but for the last few months, it's been rumored that Natalie Portman is getting divorced.
This was really, it was just great. You sent it to me on Instagram. I just typed it into the doc. It's great, great branding, great press content from her.
I loved it. I really loved it. Great job. Natalie Portman, hope you're doing okay. All right, let's move on. Rihanna performed for the first time in many years. Amanda, what were the circumstances of this performance?
She was at a pre-wedding celebration for the son of India's richest man. It was a 3-day, so the whole weekend, as I understand it, was a pre-wedding party. Like, it was not like Thursday was the one of the pre-wedding things and that, you know, leading up to.
Yes.
Is it just like a weekend extravaganza? Other guests included Jared and Ivanka Trump and one of their daughters, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife. And I believe I read that Hillary Clinton was there. Didn't see any photos of that. And Rihanna performed for $6 million or perhaps $6.3 million because I noted the 6.3 just because Beyonce played at the wedding of the groom's sister several years ago for $6 million. So I did wonder whether Rihanna insisted on a 6.3.
Oh, interesting.
This is all according to Page Six, by the way. So, you know, it's not like I have the invoices in front of me. Rihanna gave a performance. There were some clips posted on the internet. People didn't feel that it was her most energetic performance. I'm going to be honest, and I'm one of the world's great Rihanna fans, and I love everything that she brings to the world, including the fact that she knows that she is not giving a Beyonce-level performance on stage. That's not the area of her strength and her skill. And she's never tried, you know, like God bless her. I loved the Super Bowl. Great dramatic reveal, baby number two. But it's like, she just kind of stood in the middle of the stage in some cool red suits singing a litany of some of our greatest pop songs. You know, she's got the hits. She is Rihanna. She does not need choreography. So I say, take the $6.3 million, take the trip to a giant wedding celebration in India, try not to talk to the Kushners, and have a great time.
I wonder like what she loves doing. I'm going to just assume she likes being with her family. I think that seems clear. Mm-hmm. I think of all the photos we've seen of her the last few years, she seems happiest when she's with her partner and her children. She and Rocky really seem to be in love from the photos I've seen. I just wonder what else she really enjoys. It doesn't seem to be music.
She does seem to enjoy fashion and I believe the Housewives franchise.
Oh yeah, she loves Bravo in general. I will say, from everything I've heard, being a woman in music seems pretty terrible. So if you don't have a passion for the tunes, if winning a Grammy is, quote, not the best day of your life, then why do it?
I agree. On the other hand, like, if you do get offered $6 million.
Yeah.
Go to a lavish party across the world. I've never been to India. I would love to visit. I'd love a party as we both know. I think you and I both would have enjoyed serving the appetizer scene at this endeavor. Take the opportunities presented to you is what I have to say.
I agree. I think this sounds great for Rihanna. I hope she had a good time. Yeah. And I hope that money will benefit her children and her in a way that makes her feel good.
Yeah.
Let's move on. My favorite thing that I read on Page Six this week. This is Page Six actually aggregating people, but this is like fucking incredible. So Miley Cyrus's mother, Tish Cyrus, is married to a man named Dominic Purcell. He's famous to me from the television show Prison Break. I don't know if he's famous in any other way. Are you familiar with him?
No, not before these headlines, which I'm glad you're doing this update because I sort of read the headlines and was like, I don't know if I need to know any more about this.
Okay.
And moved on. But now you're here to tell me what I need to know.
It turns out that before Tish Cyrus married Dominic Purcell, Dominic Purcell had a casual relationship with a young woman related to Tish Cyrus. In fact, it was her daughter, Noah Cyrus, who was 24. And Noah claims that she did not, or excuse me, Tish claims that she did not know about Dominic and Noah. And there is now a big rift in the family. And Miley also claims she had no idea about this family drama. So I vaguely recall at the Grammys, Miley like sort of making a big statement about family and like sort of like kind of alluding to rifts within the family. I didn't think it was this, but this is incredible. This is like so fucking funny and also like tawdry and torrid and like and just awful. There's not enough therapy in the world for this. I cannot get over it. It's wild.
I have a counterpoint, Juliet.
Okay. Okay.
If Amanda Peet can get over her mother, Diane Keaton, taking her heart-riddled boyfriend, Jack Nicholson, away from her and making pancakes together, writing a play about him and eventually finding love in the film It's Complicated, directed and written by Nancy Meyers, then maybe Tish Cyrus can too. You know, maybe this fuels her art. Or no, maybe Noah can too. Maybe it fuels her art. Or Tish, you know, everybody make art. Why not?
Noah is apparently, to quote people, offended by the entire situation. So she's not even necessarily mad. She's just offended.
Is she just now offended because did her mom just get married?
I think it's fairly recent.
Okay.
So it's pretty, pretty wild. And I really just like, I just can't get over it. I just think it's like so funny. The other thing that's just so wild to me about it, your points are well taken. If the wonderful family from Something's Gotta Give can get over it, then
that's
fine.
Not even getting into Keanu Reeves just inserting themselves into their himself into their lives, you know?
Love Keanu in that movie.
He's unbelievable.
But here's the key difference, Amanda. Key difference. Everyone was aware, or at least the Diane Keaton character was aware of her daughter seeing this man. Everyone in this family, everyone that I've named, Tish, Noah, and Miley, are claiming ignorance about the other relationships. So that part is hilarious.
In this analogy, is Miley Cyrus Frances McDormand?
I guess so, yeah. Which is a great thing to be. Also, what are Tish and Dominic Purcell talking about? Like, I don't know. Has he interacted with the family? I mean, there's just so many follow-ups because if everyone's claiming ignorance, I have a lot of questions.
Right. It's just like, this is just coming up. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and then another quote that I'm reading to you from page 6, which is aggregated from Us Weekly. The turmoil between Noah and Tish goes far beyond what people think. Noah is very distraught over Tish stealing Dominic from her. So,
okay.
It's not great. Good luck to everyone. I wish them well. I just can't.
I wish them happiness and a romantic vacation in Paris.
This is sort of like a Hannah Montana plot, except that I'm not really sure like what the split lives are. I'm like, who's the Hannah Montana here? I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I don't either. I did watch an episode of Hannah Montana once, but just once.
Me too. Like bits and pieces. But I know there's like I know it had a really good theme song. So that's like kind of what stuck for me.
Okay.
All right. Last thing of the day. The Guardian had a fairly long article.
Jade, our producer, has just weighed in to say just once, Jade, we are older than you.
We're old. Yeah. Jay Shetty, he had a speaking role in This Is Me Now, the narrative musical from Jennifer Lopez. He's also like got a big podcast, and The Guardian has like a long feature about if he's legit or not. Spoiler alert, people, there's some questions about if he's legit or not. I know it's hard to believe, but check this out because it might shake things up.
I will
for
say
you.
I read a lot of this piece. Mm-hmm. I did not read all of it because at some point I couldn't force myself to care whether this, you know, self-help something to the stars like was in one seminary or like think tank at one year versus another year. You know, there was like a lot of stuff about timelines. And I was like, okay, it seems that this person has been not entirely truthful. However, this person is also a self-help, like,
Tony
expert
Robbins
to the stars. Yeah. Like, were we expecting 100% truthfulness and credibility from this individual?
I know. It's like, of course. Like, just of course on all of this.
Yeah, of course. So anyway, but it was extensive. I mean, this is called reporting. So hats off to that person.
I did like how it got into the geography of like the greater London area of like where he was spending his time. Like he was in Watford and all that. And I was like,
Watford loomed large. Yeah.
It really did. It's a bad beat for Watford. All right. That's all we got this week. Next week, post-Oscars breakdown. Very excited. Love a 7 o'clock start time. If the Super Bowl can start at 6:30, the Oscars can start at 7. This is great news for all of us who have only seen one episode of Hannah Montana. thank you to our producer, Jade Whaley. And get well, Kate Middleton. In peace.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.